here three times, maybe two or three times before. And this time I'm a little less nervous, which is good. It gets easier. So I know that as a therapist, if it makes you anxious, keep doing it. And I want to, before I start, thank you for listening, and then thank you to the AV squad. So those, most of us in the room know what AV squad, so thanks for the help. I think we're going to have audio at the end if there's time. And I still do shake my head at how I got up here, but we know John, and we know he's really good at luring us in. And the benefit of doing this for me, there is kind of a selfish thing. I'm not so sure Jack had a benefit, because I was pretty stressed, and he bore some of the brunt of that journey. So thank you to my husband. But that I have had the gift of getting to reflect on my spiritual life and journey, and when life gets busy, I work full-time now, I don't have a chance to really slow down and do that, so that's been a gift. And then having lunch with John and Carolyn was also a really nice gift, so thank you for that. So highly recommend speaking. Good trade-off. So my personal religion or system of faith and worship has recently gotten a boost from some learning I did about awe for a conference I spoke at last year for Gunderson. And today I'm going to take on a little, I think we're going to call it like a tour de awe, as it informs my spiritual seeking. And I'm going to start by defining awe and then reflect on how emotional suffering or pain intersects with awe for me, and then play, hopefully, an awe-inspiring song. And my hope is that you'll walk away with a new perspective on, or a different perspective, on how awe manifests in your life and makes meaning for you personally as well. So here we go. So what is awe? We kind of talked about it, but what does it really mean? Awe, by definition, is a transformative experience. And it happens when we are alone or in the presence of others, and it can catch us completely unawares, or we can call it up or summon it. And I imagine that I use awe, I was thinking about this morning. So that's the other thing about doing this, is like, every day I had a kind of a different way I was going to talk. And so this is today's version. Which probably other people think differently, but that's how it goes for me, which is why Jack suffers so much. So I was thinking about this today. Like, I think I use awe the way other people might use prayer, and I'm not sure there's a difference. But I kind of call up awe when I need to feel held or more connected, or when I'm feeling lost, or when I'm suffering or feeling in pain. Is this working?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So awe is an awareness of something vastly greater than oneself, and it's not something easily or immediately understandable. Psychologists define it, awe inspires the wish to let shine, to acknowledge, and to unite. So a coming together and a recognition of something else out there. And I'll, if you want the citations, I'll give those later, or send them out in your newsletter. Another definition of awe is this: awe is a positive emotion triggered by awareness of something vastly greater and larger than the self. And it can be found through music. I'm sure we've all, I know we've, every person in this room has experienced awe. Like when Monica walked in, that was kind of awe-inspiring. It had even more, she used to, if you remember, always come with Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, and it's kind of awe-inspiring that she has her water bottle today. But it can be inspired by many things: nature, art, music. Those are kind of the traditional ways psychologists define experiencing awe. Awe is not wonder, which is an experience that inspires us to wish to better understand something. So that, I think that's an important distinction that I'm just going to lay out there. And awe is not joy, which is a feeling, an emotion of great pleasure or happiness. They're both really great, but they're not awe. So awe is by definition a transformative experience. For me, for more on how this actually physically and cognitively happens, like I highly recommend a TED Talk by a psychologist named Lonnie Shioda, who's also a dancer, and said she has a TED Talk, and she talks literally about the research into what happens. It's really cool. But awe for me transforms me out of myself and into a space that I often forget to think about in my daily life, because I get so busy. But when I'm awestruck, I'm reminded mostly of what matters to me most in the world, which is that I'm less important than I like to think I am, and much more connected. And for me, that connection piece and that who am I, what value do I have internally and in connection with others, really has been a part of my spiritual journey. So I'm taking doing a little tour into a side room in my tour to awe right now about when I was growing up. I grew up pretty lonely in childhood. My dad, ironically, was a child psychiatrist, but he was 20 years older than my mother, so he would be probably in his mid-90s. He died when I was 16, which is part of the story, but he was a Freudian, so there's so much to explore there, but we're not going to do that today. But he was also, he suffered from addiction to alcohol, and he was physically abusive to my mom in my early childhood, and I don't have any, so my nonverbal memories are kind of suffused with that. They were divorced when I was 5, which I was lucky for in many ways, and we still stayed connected to my dad as much as I could have with someone who was suffering. And then he died when I was 16, which kind of just threw this trajectory of my life into another direction. So anyway, that was a big circle into how I often don't feel, I struggle sometimes to feel connected, and I think that's just a part of that early childhood experience. And that, like, obviously I'm a therapist, and you know, we become therapists for reasons, so like now you know the big secret, but but anyway. So it reminds me that I am less important than I think I am. It gets me on my head, and I have so much more connections, and it gives me that, it's really a felt sense of that directive, like get out of your head and into your heart. And in my heart is where empathy, compassion, connection, and action live. So right here for me. Right here. And I most often experience awe when I'm alone in nature, and when I'm listening to certain music. I've experienced awe like many of you have, I know, in different settings. Like when I've used psychedelics, and that has been pretty, like, Jack and I have talked about that. Sometimes, like, it's kind of a shortcut, a kind of nod. And in places like that, Alhambra in Granada, Spain, and in daily life, like one of my most recent things was like yesterday. I was getting out of the car after swimming at the Y, and like I just was like, I got my talk to figure out, and we got to do all these errands. I got to do laundry, and I got to do. I walked out of the car, and I heard this, and I'm gonna try to whistle. Wait. Okay. I'm so sorry. Just like really loud, like right by my head, a little. And I looked up because I was like, that's a hello, like someone's trying to get my attention. And there was this little chickadee just right in the trees, which we have called out into our lives by planting trees around our house because we live right in town. And it was just like so pure. I just went, and then I just paused, and then another little chickadee came, and there were like 5 little chickadees, and I hadn't seen a chickadee around my house in a long time, and I was like, what? And then, so that's what all I did, like, what? And then, like, I forgot in my head, like, I had made chickadees bigger, like, I had made chickadees, like, Like, they're so small. And this little chickadee was, like, belting it out. And then the other chickadees answer, and they start chirping it. And of course, I, like, being human, got out my Merlin app and put it on there for my later use. But that, to me, was a moment of awe, because it just took me right there. And I stopped thinking. And then that all started again, because obviously I wouldn't be here today in my talk if I hadn't kept going. So anyway, so that's an example of awe. So the other piece I want to say about this is that the psychologists who study awe, at least that what I've tapped into, will like nod their heads and say, oh yes, of course, like awe is in nature and in art and dance and music. But here's the thing, for me, I most often nowadays often experience awe through other people's narratives of their own sense of pain and loss and healing. And that's, those are the everyday experiences that often just like bring me to the floor. And when I say that, I mean like they just, again, they shift me. Then literally also, like sometimes I'll lie on my office floor after I have a session with someone, and some of you who do this kind of work might understand that, because that's very grounding, and awe can just shift us. And so it is that bring me back to the present moment, because I become in awe of the human spirit in those moments, because it's extraordinary. And many of you know this, and I know we're such a great group of people, like we know how extraordinary and how humbling it is to be in the presence of someone. I don't know, I got a little bit. When they share that deeply held secret for a first time, or when they look at you in there, they need just to be reminded, like, you're not crazy. Like, we all feel that way at times. And for me, those are moments of awe. And they're not shiny, and they're not gorgeous. But they're profound, because they connect me with that compassion and empathy. And then the action is actually in being still, which, right, like when we stop and are still, we can experience awe sometimes. So as I've alluded to, like, I don't live in this space, because I, this morning, for instance, kind of got a little dysregulated with Jack. Jack has witnessed this. So to access awe and that stillness and that space and be present, I have to practice a lot. So being open, being quiet, slowing down. There's many ways we talk about that here all the time, how to do that. And I think poets have a direct line to this way of moving through the world. Being open to awe through the sacred and the heartbreaking, and holding those both often at the same time. And William Wordsworth was my entree into that when I was in college, because I studied the Romantic poets, but I didn't know that. I didn't have the context to know what I needed, but I needed William Wordsworth. And then now Hafiz, like we read Hafiz, I read Hafiz and Mary Oliver. So I'm just going to read this short Mary Oliver poem, which is called The World I Live In. I have refused to live locked in the orderly house of reasons and proofs. The world I live in and believe in is wider than that. And anyway, what's wrong with maybe? You wouldn't believe what once or twice I've seen. I'll just tell you this. Only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. And because I can't leave out music, we'll end by playing this song by Daka Braka, which is a Ukrainian group of, I don't even know how to classify their music, that fell into my awareness in a really ordinary way. So that's the other thing, like we find awe through the ordinary on my Facebook feed, of all things. I discovered them, I was lucky, a few months before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And we're going to play this song, because when I first heard this, it's just an example for me of that. It just transported me. And so So we'll play it, and then there's a visual, you can look at it on YouTube if you would like. And so it's long though, so just settle in and enjoy yourselves, or if you think of your own experience of a call.
Thank you.